Amen. Amen. It's a BB gun. No. I'm kidding. He's a funny guy. Noah's funny. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. If you have your Bibles, I want to open with a scripture here real quick. Scripture that the Lord put on my heart to share with you. If you have your Bibles, turn there. It's not on the screen. It's not anywhere. It's just something that I think God want me to read this morning. Amen? And we just gotta do what God wants us to do, you know? If I can get there. Let's see here. I want you to turn to the book of Psalm. And chapter 118. Amen. Today's a good day. Yeah? In Psalm 118, verse 24, it says this. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen? How many of you believe that today? This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? It then continues on and says, we will rejoice and be glad. Amen. I needed to hear that this morning. The Lord reminded me of that scripture this morning. I needed to hear it. Amen. Today is a good day. I don't have a long message this morning. Well, I don't think it's going to be long. I don't think so. But it could be. It could end up being really short. Anyway, bear with me. Okay. Amen? Enjoy the Word of God with me this morning. In your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah and just hold your finger there. I'm not going to tell you what scripture it is, just to the book of Isaiah. And the Lord had put three words in my mind a few weeks ago to kind of look at it. And it's that time of year to look at these words. After studying these words out, it became evident that y'all need to hear these words. And y'all need to hear what the Word says about these words. Amen? The first word is peace. The funny thing about peace is, in the Bible, it's used in two different ways. In the Old Testament, it's used as shalom. And in the New Testament, it's used as, I didn't write it down, but it starts with an E. And it's two different meanings, one in Hebrew and one in Greek. But it's the word peace. And how many of you know in English, a word can have multiple meanings? Yeah. Yes? Depending on how you use it, the context you use it in. Amen. But peace is ultimately this. It's the state of an individual being tranquil. The state of an individual being in agreement, or a couple being in agreement. It's a pact that can be signed in an agreement to end hostility. And peace can also mean freedom from oppressing thoughts or disquieting thoughts. Peace. When you say peace be with you, it means all that and some. Peace. The Bible says a lot of things about peace. The Bible says a lot of things about you having peace. Amen? About us as a church, as a body, having peace. It also says a lot about the second word. The second word is called chaos. Chaos is opposite of peace. In the Webster's dictionary, and I used to use a different dictionary until Pastor Calvin told me that Webster knows it all. A long time ago. Chaos, it means the state of utter confusion. The opposite of peace. Chaos means a confused mass or a confused mixture. Within our bodies, within your bodies, you have a mixture of flesh and spirit. And if there is a confusion of such mixture, there is chaos. So we need peace. The third word that the word talks about that I got is joy. Amen. Now, joy is an emotion. Joy is an emotion that is evoked by well-being or evoked by success. It can also be evoked, which means brought upon, by possessing what one desires. In the Word of God, God talks about giving us our heart's desire, what we desire. Not necessarily what we feel like we want to have, but what we desire, our deepest desires. And those things then should evoke joy. Joy. So what is your longing, deepest desire? What inside of you is creating chaos and a mixture of peace and chaos? We need to find out where the peace is and get rid of the chaos. I did write it down. The Greek word peace comes from the Greek word irene. How about that? It's the Greek equivalent for the word shalom, which means, expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstance or unaffected by outward pressure. The word irene strongly suggests the rule of order in place of chaos, peace amongst the chaos. Amen. When a person is dominated by peace or this irene Greek definition, he or she has a calming, has a calm inner stability that results in your ability or their ability to conduct themselves peacefully. Amen? Even in the midst of circumstances that would normally prove to be chaos. And in this time of year, I believe that chaos is a flick of the switch. That it can be just around the corner. We need to understand what peace is and where it comes from and what it is and how we can stay in peace in the midst of the chaos. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, and I want to go to chapter 9. Say amen when you get to Isaiah chapter 9. Amen. And we might know this scripture that comes to us at this particular season. If you're following along, it says there in verse 6. It says, "For a child is born to us." Who's that? It's a prophecy. "For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, all those definitions we just talked about with peace, he's the Prince of Peace. So when we talk about King of England or king of this or king of that in history, we talk about the ruler over that particular area. We talk about the Prince of Peace, then we talk about the second ruler of that area, yeah? The prince of anything is the heir to the throne or is the part of the throne that's over here, right? If the king needs to go do something, he sends the prince. And we know that our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of the inner stability, the Prince of completeness, the Prince of that ability to be unaffected by any outward circumstance or any outward pressure. Amen? It says there, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Amen. He is Prince of Peace. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. I want you to read a, we're going to read a story here in the book of Matthew. If you're wondering, and you, if you write down the different versions that might be used, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In Matthew chapter 8, I want to read an account starting in verse 23. It says, "And then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake and waves breaking the boat, but Jesus was sleeping." I don't know how many of you have been on a boat before and on the in a lake or on the ocean and a storm comes. Waves get pretty rocky, pushes the boat, rocks the boat, right? Jesus was sleeping. Fierce storm struck the lake. Jesus was sleeping. Verse 25 says, "The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' Jesus replied, 'Why are you afraid? You have so little faith.' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was great calmness." And verse 27 says, "The disciples were amazed. 'Who is this man?' they asked. 'Who the winds and waves obey him.'" My focus here, my question, and my wonder, and my amazement is that there was a crazy storm and Jesus was sleeping. I need to go wake him up. "Hey, Jesus, there's a big storm out here. You want to help us out?" I could just see he's sleeping, you know, and you wake up and you're like, "What?" Right? So a lot of times we're sleeping and me and I and the kids will come and wake us up. "Mom, Dad!" "What?" Right? I just imagine the same kind of thing, because if he's the Prince of Peace, he's full of peace. He has no fear. And there's a big storm out there, and they come to him crying like little babies, crying like little kids, saying, "I'm afraid, I'm afraid." And he says, "What do you want? Why are you afraid? There's nothing wrong here. There's nothing going on here." Jesus tells them, "You have so little faith." If Jesus is your Prince of Peace, your faith is in Jesus. Your peace also, too, then is in Jesus. It all stems down to faith. In this story, it all comes down to faith. And they can have peace if they have faith. That's what Jesus was telling them. Where is your faith? Where is your peace? There's a storm going on, Jesus. Don't you see? "Yeah, I see it, but it doesn't matter. I'm here with you. I told you earlier, we're going to go across. We're going to go. There's no need to be afraid. You can have peace in me." It's, if you read through some of this stuff, when Jesus talks, he's talking and then the disciples don't believe him. They're like, "Oh my gosh, why is this happening?" And he tells them, "You have so little faith in me." They're not saying that you don't have any faith in anything. They're saying, he's telling them, "Why don't you trust me? Yeah. I told you what we were going to do. I told you what was going to happen. Have some peace. Have some inner stability. Be complete in what I told you. Be at peace. Because I told you this was going to happen. We're going to go. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. He already told them we're going to go to the other side." Yeah. He already told them, "We're going to get on the boat. We're going to go to the other side." So he fell asleep knowing that he was going to get where? To the other side. And he wanted us to fall asleep in him. He wanted us to get in him and get with him and understand that he is where our peace is. No matter what's going on around you, inside that boat there was peace. They got their minds off of that and started to get afraid. Started to be fearful of what was going on around them. How many times do we do that? How many times do we forget that Jesus is right here. And we get afraid because the storm is loud. My son Noah, it's funny that he talked about a gun because we go out and I've been trying to teach them some gun safety tips out where we live. There's a lot of things going on there. And I've been trying to teach them things about nature and stuff that maybe I've learned from some of you here and what I've learned when I was growing up and helping out on some farm stuff. And so we get the guns out that I have, and I'm trying to teach them. And Noah hates loud noises. He hates loud noises. So when we get the bigger guns out, he gets scared. Gets fearful. And I try to reassure him that there's nothing wrong. It's just loud noises. You're not going to get hurt. Nothing's wrong. And I read this story, and I feel like Jesus is telling me something here. Jesus is trying to make me understand that where there's loud noises, it's just loud noises. I have hold of, in my picture, in the situation, I have a hold of the gun. No, it's okay. I have a hold of the situation. It's all right. It's just loud noises and smoke and lights and whistles. It's just loud noises. You can be at peace because it ain't going to harm you. I got control of this. That's what I tell my son and my daughter. I have control of this. It's okay. It's not a problem. That's what Jesus is telling us. It's okay. I got a hold of it. He needs you to understand that he's got a hold of what you think is a storm. He's got a hold of it. There's peace in him. And so therefore, you can have peace in him. He's in control. In the book of Psalms, let's go back to Psalms. I want to go to chapter 51. Amen. You following me, church? Peace is where it's at. Jesus is where we find peace. So all in all, Jesus is where it's at. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, I want to read one verse, verse 12. Says, restore me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. In this situation, David is crying out. He just went through some bad stuff. Somebody just tattled on him for doing some bad things. The question I have to ask you right now before we get into this is, do you ever feel stagnant in your faith? Do you ever feel like you're at a place where, I don't know. As though you're just going through the motions. I think I know the answer. Yeah. There are times which we feel stagnant, which we think, oh, you know, I'm just doing what I do. Just keep on keeping on. Sin can drive a wedge in between you and God. And so, making him seem distant, but he's really not. I think that's the greatest trick, greatest lie the devil ever told anybody is when you sin, God leaves you. No, he doesn't. He's still right there. You just put blinders on. David felt this way in this particular scripture. And many times throughout the Psalms, you hear that he felt this way. He cries out, God, where are you? God, I can't see. God, where are you? I'm right here. Where are you? You see, in the scripture, he sinned with Bathsheba. And he was just confronted by Nathan, the prophet. And in his prayer here, he cries, restore me to the joy of your salvation. Restore me back to where I know I'm supposed to be. Restore me back to the peace that I had. Restore me back to the truth that I knew. Restore me back to the man that I need to be in you. Restore me back to how I know I'm supposed to be. It's a call for restoration. And how many of us need a call for restoration? You might need it right now. A call for restoration because we allow that sin to get in the middle between us and God. But God is still there. God wants us to be close to him and experience his fullness in him. He wants you to feel the complete life. You see that Greek word that is the equivalent, Irene, is completeness, a peace, a fulfillment, a fullness of peace in Jesus Christ. But sin that remains unconfessed makes such relationship with God impossible, because you're not removing the blinders. You're not removing what's blocking you from God. One thing I understand is we can't see the kids, and we can't see Nina and all those people up there, can we? We can't see them. How do we know they're there? What if they left? Did they leave? If we took down the walls, we could see them. God is the same. God did not leave. He is with you. They are with us. When we sin, we just choose to not see God. We choose to see the sin. Confess your sins to God. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Let's turn back to Isaiah. Understand that with David, he sinned many times, but every time he repented, every time he came back and repented and tried to restore that relationship with his God, he still had to face the consequences of his sin, although. So we might have to understand that, yes, we sin, and things may not just go away. We may have to, if we've sinned in such a way, have to deal with the consequences of that. And those consequences are not necessarily from God. Those are consequences that you created. And we can't blame God for those consequences. You can't look at that consequence and say, God, why? That will destroy your peace. In Isaiah chapter 26, chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. God will keep you in perfect peace, all who trust in you. There's a caveat here, right? There's an option that we have. We have to trust. All who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If you read it backwards, it says all whose thoughts are fixed on you, all who trust is in you, you will keep in perfect peace. We can never avoid strife and confrontation in this world. We can't really avoid it. It's kind of around us. And there are small little things that we say and we do that kind of bring it about. That maybe we didn't mean it, but it just kind of happened. So we can't really avoid it so much. But when we fix our thoughts on God, we can know that the peace can come inside of that turmoil. That turmoil that we have on the inside because of maybe the strife can overtake that strife. The peace from God will overtake that. If we trust in Him and we abide in Him, if we affix all of our thoughts on Him, then the peace can come. We focus our mind on God and His Word. We become steady and stable. We have that perfect peace. When we fix our eyes on Him, you could say, when we fix our thoughts on Him, when we trust in Him, God supports us. God is there with His unchanging love and His unchanging power and His unshaken presence. It says there in verse 3, in perfect peace, all who trust in Him and all whose thoughts are fixed upon you. Amen. Do you want peace? It says, then keep your thoughts on God and put your trust in Him. and he will keep you in perfect peace. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 14. The Lord is showing us through Scripture that he is the Prince of Peace and that peace belongs to you. When we abide in him, when we trust in him, when we look to him, we have that same peace. And what we have to understand is that just like God, if God is peace, and if Jesus is the Prince of Peace and he's right here by me, then I can have peace all the time. I can be at peace all the time. I don't have to worry or stress about all of life's struggles and all of life's strife anymore. I can have peace if I just take the blinders off, if I just remove the wall, if I just focus on God and not focus on the wall, if I focus on God and not over what's going on, then I can have peace. Amen? If you in your life are going through struggle, are not having peace, or you're having inner turmoil, this is for you, because this is peace. Amen? In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. If we're looking for the world to bring us peace, and the definitions we talked about, what is it? A state of being tranquil, an agreement to end hostility, freedom from oppressive thoughts and emotions and oppressive actions. If we're looking at the world to give us that kind of peace, we're looking in the wrong spot, and we're not going to find it. You might think you found it, but it ain't going to stay that long. And probably you might be into some sin things, and which means it's going to come first. It's going to come back at you. You reap what you sow. Here we go. He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. Again, if we look back at the story of the waves, and the wind and the waves, and they rocked the boat and crashed into the boat and scared them, even with Jesus, even with the Prince of Peace, these disciples were scared. And where are we? We have our faith in Jesus. And where are we when the waves get high and the waves rock the boat and the wind crashes down? Where are we? Where is our faith? Where is our trust? Where is our peace? The end result of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If we are a confessing Christian, then we have the Holy Spirit inside. If we are a practicing Christian, we have the Holy Spirit inside. So the question is, the end result of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is deep and lasting peace. In the world, peace looks like this. It looks like a world without conflict. Well, I think of the people making fun of like beauty pageants and stuff. What do you want? World peace. What does that mean? In the world's mind, world peace means without conflict. Well, we live in a world that's always going to have conflict. Especially when we look at flesh versus spirit. It's always going to be conflicting. Power can corrupt, which means there's going to be conflict. Look at the nations of the world, the people who are in power. There's conflict. Who rules here? Who rules here? Blah, 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 right? Wars. The peace with Christ. We have no need to fear. You have no need to fear. Sin, fear, uncertainty, doubt. These things are forces within us by the flesh. And what we see from the world, what we see from the outside, and letting that in causes this stuff. Letting what you see out there come in and cause conflict brings inner turmoil, brings inner war. But when we focus on God, we have to understand is that when we confess Holy Spirit live inside of us, when we confess this, we're confessing that the Spirit come in and take control. Well, the Spirit's going to bring peace. So the peace is in control then. We have to always focus on that peace to push down the turmoil, to push down the conflict. And who is greater? Greater is the one who's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Holy Spirit brings peace. Holy Spirit lives in us, and it brings peace. Be still. What does the word say? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be at peace. Be at rest. Be and know that he is God in control. Let's move a couple chapters to chapter 16 in the book of John. In John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Who has overcome the world? Jesus has overcome the world. You're going to have turmoil. He says, you're going to have strife. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have war. You're going to have whatever it is. But it says, don't worry about it. The storms are going to come. The storms are going to go. The storms are going to come again. The storms are going to go again. This is what's happening. The storms are going to come and go. They never just go and stay away. They always come. But what is constant, what stays, is the peace you have from Jesus Christ. That's where we have that strength and that Holy Spirit that's on the inside, that we can go through this world, this life that you have, and be thrown conflict here and there, struggle here and there, but have peace. Knowing that Jesus is the ultimate, Jesus is, what do we call him? Our provider. Our peace. Turn to the book of Romans. Thank you, Jesus. People, I believe we gotta wake up a little bit. At least maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. You guys are all awake. Wake up to the fact that all your struggles, and it's not easy. Trust me, I'm going through struggles. It's not easy. But where does our peace come from? If I'm looking for my new job and the $2,000 raise or whatever it is, I'm looking for that to bring peace, it ain't going to bring it. If I'm looking for that girl or that guy or whatever it is to bring peace, it ain't going to bring it. If I'm looking for that new car or that certain tool or whatever it is that you think you need, that's gonna ain't gonna happen. Romans chapter 14. In verse 17 it says this, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, verse 18 says, if you serve Christ with this attitude, what attitude? Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. Well, Christians, they're just so judgmental. I wonder why. Where's our peace? Where's our love? Where's our joy? Where's our, it's not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness, living a life of peace, living a life with joy in the Holy Spirit. It says, then you'll please God, but then others will also approve of you as well. What a testimony that is to other people when we are good, when we live in peace and with peace. I don't think Paul here or anybody who's here is talking about being at peace. They're going through conflict. I'm pretty sure they were speaking of that inner Irene Greek translation that says, I need inner peace from the turmoil that's going on. If it's struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it is, it's that inner peace that you seek. It's the inner peace. Ain't nothing out here going to bring you peace. It's the inner peace that you need. And that inner peace comes from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that comes when we accept and when we say, I'm going to live for you, Jesus. It comes and it's here, and it's the strength that you have to get out of all of that conflict, that inner conflict, and get into that Irene, that inner peace, that inner joy. And we can live in peace and love and harmony. Amen. It says then in verse 19, so then let us aim for harmony. And it says, let us aim for harmony in the church, in the body, with our people. Let us aim to be at peace, at harmony. I believe if we look at the definitions of peace and harmony, they are synonyms. They go together. Where there's peace, there's harmony. Amen. It says, then, so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. It doesn't say to try and knock each other down. It doesn't say to go out to somebody and it says to grab the hand and lift them up. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Lift them up. Jesus could have did the same. Peter walked on the water, and guess what happened? He fell down. Jesus said, you have little faith, get back down there. But he didn't. He showed us an example of what to do when somebody loses faith. He gave us an example of what to do when somebody stumbles a little bit. When somebody gets their eye off the prize, it doesn't say just push them down. Oh, you drown. It says pick them up. Pick them up. Extend your hand. Pick them up. Show them your inner peace so they can have inner peace. Be the example. Amen. In Galatians 5:22, we reread this all the time. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 talks about it. We read it, but do we get it? I find that all the time with my students. I have them read something, but they still don't get it. I don't know if that happens to you. You read a story, and you're like, oh, it was great. But I ask you about, give me the details. I don't know. I don't remember it. Oh, so you didn't get it. Tell me how to tape an ankle. Well, didn't you read about it? Yeah. Well, tell me about it. So you didn't get it. So let's read it again. Maybe you'll get it this time. Maybe I'll get it this time. 5:22 says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Produces what? This kind of fruit. What does it say? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love the first three. I love them all. But it says love, joy, peace. What are we talking about today? Peace. Love, joy, peace. Peace and joy in the middle of chaos in your life. Peace and joy. Love, joy, peace are all fruits that when we live as Christ, when we live in Christ, guess what? We have love. We're full of love. We're full of joy. We're full of peace. And the rest. The Holy Spirit in you produces this kind of fruit. Jesus said you can, in the Bible, I forget who said it, you can know people by their fruit. I'm pretty sure it was a reference to the fruit of the Spirit. You can know them by their fruit. You can know them by what they are doing, how they are showing themselves. And sometimes we struggle to show our true selves, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and control. I believe that we struggle to testify our true Holy Spirit, God's self, because we somehow allow what's outside of us to take away our inner peace. We allow whatever's going on out there, whatever kind of sin or temptation, to take away our peace and cause turmoil. It allows you, whatever it is, if you're watching something, if you're listening to something, if you're around other people, we allow that to get in the way of our inner peace, of our Irene, of our stability in Christ. And it creates chaos, because then we don't know which way to go. And then we're like deer in headlights. What do I do? Do I stay here or do I move? Amen? In the book of Philippians, I know I'm taking you through some scripture, but the word is so big, but it's so good, and it's so to the point. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So you have to understand then. We have to go back to then this peace and what we're talking about. How can Jesus have peace when they're in the middle of a storm? How can Jesus be sleeping in the middle of this crazy storm? And if we think about it in our own human sense, it's no wonder those disciples were going crazy. They were in the middle of a sea in this crazy storm, and they're probably thinking, oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to drown. I don't want to drown. I don't want to die. I got so much to do, blah, 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 right? When we look at it from that perspective, they allowed that storm to get in the way of their inner peace that was laying right there. And it says, which exceeds anything we can understand. They didn't understand the peace that they had. We don't fully understand the peace that we have, because it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So we don't get it. We don't understand the peace that we need to have, but we just need to have it. And if we don't understand, then we need to have faith that we have it. We need to walk in peace by faith. I believe that's why the word tells us to live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Because we don't understand half the stuff that God has for us, because we just don't get it. He's way up there, we're way down here. We just don't get all the things that God knows about everything. So we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And I think that goes into also peace. How many of us have been through a storm? We just don't understand why it's happening, and we don't understand why maybe other people on the outside say, just don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. I'm in the thick of it, and I'm worrying about it. And people over here are like, just don't worry about it. They're trying to tell us something. They're trying to tell us what Jesus said here to the disciples. Hey, don't you get it? It's okay. I and you, you and me, he and them, him and us, what the Bible talks about. Jesus being with us and in us. Holy Spirit being in us and with us. The Prince of Peace being in you and around you. It's no wonder he said to the disciples, you have no faith. The peace that passes all understanding requires us to be believing that we own it, that we have it, that we live it. Peace that passes all understanding. So when you're in the middle of the storm, the middle of the whatever it is, have peace, Because God already said, we're going to get to the other side. So just chill. Have peace that God's going to take care of it. Have faith that God's going to take care of it, therefore it brings peace. There's some stuff going on, right now with me that I need to have peace. It's tough. It's hard. I'm not saying it wasn't. Jesus never said it wasn't going to be hard. He said, just have faith. Just walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever you see, don't worry about it. Have faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. You see this turmoil going on? Walk by faith, not by sight. You have peace. Amen? In Colossians, let's turn to the book of Colossians. I think it's back one from Philippians where we were. Or it's up one. It's to the right or to the left. Colossians chapter 3. Amen? Are you with me? Yeah. Amen? Colossians chapter 3. I want to read a couple verses. I want to start with verse 14. I want to say, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Again, there's that harmony, that peace synonym, harmony. And then verse 15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. All the virtues that Paul encourages here to develop are perfectly bound together by love. All of the harmony, peace, everything that he calls for right here in the scripture is perfectly wound together in love. Peace wound together love. Joy wound together in love. Right? All the things that we ever hear Paul talk about on how to live and what he talks to the churches about how to change and how to be different, how to be full of Christ, how to live, follow him as he follows Christ, all the things we have to do, is wrapped together in that love word. Having joy, having peace, not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about today, all comes together with love of God and the peace that it brings you. Amen. In this particular scripture, it talks about and clothe yourselves with love. Now listen, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from that, right? Let the peace that comes from love and harmony then rule in your heart. To live in peace. To live at peace. I believe that if we live by peace, if you live with peace, it spreads, and you can then live with peace with other people because you're at peace. So you can be peaceful with other people because you're at peace. Doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter how a person talks to you, doesn't matter what's going on around you and that person, you're at peace, there's peace. In situations in which there's confrontation, if you're at peace, that confrontation kind of gets lowered. And now we're both at peace. But see, if you allow that chaos to disrupt your peace, now there's chaos. Now there's conflict. That's hard to do because our flesh just wants to fire up and fire back. But we can be peaceful about it. Amen? There's a way. There's a peaceful way to do business. There's a peaceful way to confront people about sin, about other things. There's a peaceful way. There's a loving way. And that's what it calls for. If I live in peace by faith, then when I go to somebody and I want to talk to them about something that's maybe not right in their life, it's going to be a peaceful conversation. And not a conversation. It's going to be a peaceful conversation. It's going to be a loving conversation. It's going to be a hugging conversation. It's going to be in me reaching my hand out and say, come on, brother. Come on, brother. Let's get it going. Let's get it right. Amen? Because there's peace. But if there's conflict that arises, and if I'm supposed to be the peaceful person and I let that chaos bubble up and arise, then I get all puffed up, and they got all puffed up, and now there's, man, we lose peace. Amen. Peace. Let's turn to the book of James. As you're turning to the book of James, how do we deal with these conflicts that we constantly have with other people in life? How do we deal? Right? How do we deal with this stuff? Paul explains that we have to decide to live in peace. We have to decide. We have to make it our place to be peaceful. We have to act and be peaceful people. We can't, it's not automatically going to be like, I'm in peace. We have to decide. We have to decide between either we're going to be conflicting or we're going to rule by peace. Which choice promotes peace in your soul? Which conversation chooses peace in your soul? James 1, verse 2 says that, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. It's easy to allow conflict and troubles to create chaos. It's easy. It will pretty much do it automatically. But we have to choose not to let it happen. We have to choose that we have the Holy Spirit inside and that we can operate by peace. Operate in peace, that stability, that tranquility. You understand? Instead of complaining about our struggles, we should see them as an opportunity for growth. God promises to be with you in everything. Well, good. Thank God for promising to be with you in your times of struggle, in your times of being rough, in your times of whatever. Thank God for being with you. And you know what? Thank God for getting you through it. Many times, Jesus told his disciples, we're going to go here. And then on that process, they had conflict. There was a testing of faith of some kind. Well, Jesus told you, we're going to get over there. And in the conflict, they lost their faith. That's why he says, you have little faith. You didn't listen to what I said. We talked about it earlier. We talk about it now again. It's the same thing. God told you we're going to get over here. If God told you we're going to go over here, then get over there. Don't worry about what's going on. It's going to poke at you. It's going to beat at you. It's going to make you cry. It'll make you boil up. But you have that inner peace inside to just walk right through it and keep going. And it's going to give you that shield to dodge the fiery arrows that the devil throws at you. That peace on the inside. Amen. Let's continue reading. I want to continue reading in James. It says, if we start in 1, it says, in James chapter 1, verse 2, right? Let's keep reading. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. Verse 3 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Verse 4 says, then let it grow. Yeah. Then let it grow. Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So James then says, let it grow. Let the test, let the trial be as it may, but let your faith grow. That's profound to me. That means that maybe sometimes I just need to walk through and let that trial be as it is. hold my tongue, have my faith, have my peace, because it's going to teach me something. It's going to let my faith grow. So the next time something like this happens, I already know God told me I'm going to the other side. I'm there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. James here, and Jesus isn't saying, if trouble comes your way, it says, but when? The point is here, I think, not to pretend to be happy. Not to pretend to be happy when we face pain, but to be positive, to count it all joy. Because why? Because we can learn something. Our faith grows. Our faith deepens. Our roots can go out deep. Because now we've been tested, we've been tried, we're going through the fire, and what happens to gold as it goes through the fire? It's refined. It's refined, and thank God for refining. Thank God for pruning. God will not leave you alone to deal with your problems. He's close, and he'll help you grow. Tough times can teach us perseverance. When my mom and dad or my somewhere in my family, somebody said it's that stick-to-itiveness. Stick-to-itiveness. Stick to it. Last scripture I have today. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Maybe. Say amen when you get to 1 Peter. Amen. 1 Peter, I want to look at chapter 1. I want to read a couple scriptures starting with verse 6. It says, then, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. I love that because it says, be truly glad and have wonderful joy. There is wonderful joy ahead because you're going to get through your trial. So many times in the Word, there are trials and people go through things, but it ends only for a new one to come. But we learn, we grow to the point where most trials to a mature, rooted Christian aren't even trials. Just a passing storm where we can still fall asleep, like Jesus. Not affected by the wind and the waves, but understanding where God has him going. Understanding where God has you going. And we can just go and not worry about the wind and the waves that are crashing among us. That tells me that if I'm still worried about the wind and the waves, I have a lot to grow yet. I need to grow. I need to get my roots deeper. I need to have my faith tested so I can grow and grow and grow. To become so full of faith that when the wind and the waves come crashing at my door, it doesn't affect me. I keep going. So when the trials and the temptations come and Satan throws his fiery arrows at me, it's not affecting me. That's where we end here, is we need to grow. So be truly glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you may have to endure trials for a little while. Verse 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fiery tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Jesus wants us to be like his disciples, but different in the way that when the storms come, we don't wake him up. We have enough faith just to keep going. We might have enough faith to take a nap with him and to rest in him through the trials and the storm. I believe that wholeheartedly, that Jesus and God want us to come to a level of faith where we can sleep through the storms, so to speak. That means we need to grow. That means we can't look at our trials and our tests as a bad thing necessarily, but to learn from them and to grow from them. We all face trials. We all come out and say, you know, we're the light of the world. We're the light. We're the lighthouse in the darkness. And once the light is shined upon us, now the devil knows where to go. We have to start, we must accept that the trials are the refining process. Not to look at them like, woe is me. But to look at them, I'm growing. And to trust God that he'll get you through, I'm growing. I'm growing, I'm maturing. I'm maturing to perfection. What's perfection? Like Jesus. So to have peace like Jesus, to have peace knowing that it's all taken care of already, knowing that I don't have to struggle, that I don't have to look at these trials like, look at these temptations as such a hard thing. No, who lives inside? The greater one lives inside of you. The peace, the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. You know, to look at this, oh, I see a bunch of alcohol right there. Oh, it's such a struggle. No, you can look at it and be like, nah, it's all right, walk away. You can look at, if it's whatever it is, pornography, whatever it is, you can look at it and be like, I don't need that anymore. I don't need that. I got the greater one inside of me. Amen. That stuff never brought me joy anyway. That stuff never brought me peace anyway. That stuff never brought me anything good anyway. I don't need that stuff. I got the goodness right now. I got the Holy Spirit in me. Who's got the Holy Spirit in them? You got the goodness right now. You got the peace right now. You got the joy right now. Amen. You got it all right now. Right now, you got it all. We got it all right now because we confess that we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Prince of Peace. The source of our joy. Amen. Did I finish that scripture? Put that back up. Verse 8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Inexpressible joy. That means the joy that's in you, it kind of, to me it's like this. I'm so excited. I don't even know how to express I'm so excited. Inexpressible joy. You ask me to dance because I need to get excited. I don't know. I can't express that kind of dance. Because I'm so excited. I don't even know where to start. Inexpressible joy. And then it says the reward for trusting him will be salvation. Woo! Salvation! Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the end goal? That should bring joy. It shouldn't bring this somber. It should bring inexpressible joy. Inexpressible joy that makes us so happy we don't even know what to do with ourselves. So happy, so joyful, because you have peace that passes all your understanding, and whatever you're going through, it really doesn't matter. The peace that passes all understanding brings you joy. Why? Because it brings you to the place that says, I have my salvation. That's what I need. That's what I need. And if somebody out there is giving you grief that's causing you to lose your peace, well, stop. Bring your peace back. You can't control them. Bring your peace back. Bring your peace back and let the Holy Spirit deal with them. When you bring your peace back, your love will return, your joy will return, and you can speak with them with love and peace and joy. And maybe the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of them, and they can grab a hold of the Holy Spirit, and they can be at peace too. Amen? Amen. Get your peace back. Bring your peace back. Bring your joy back. Bring your love back. Stop looking at these things over here and being like, I wish you would do this. 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 I try to do this. I try to do this. If it's relationship we're talking about, stop doing this. Get your peace back. Get your love back. Get your joy back. Pray for them. Amen. Speak with them with peace, love, and joy. Let the Holy Spirit deal with it. That's hard. Yes, it is. But you need to have your peace. Because peace leads to salvation. And you need to have your salvation. The Holy Spirit and your peace will work on these people. Your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit and your peace will be the testimony that you have. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray.
While Mitch was talking, and he was talking about the peace that we have, and he walked over to Pastor Calvin, and he was condemning Pastor Calvin. Lord, quicken this idea, and I want to show it to you. Because I can't explain it, you got to see it. All right, Mitch is going to be my guy who's done something wrong, all right? My brother who's done something wrong. If you'll come over and kneel right here, Mitch. Yes. Now, if somebody would look up John 11:32 for me. Somebody look up John 11:32 and read it out loud. You're going to be blasted away by this. This is so cool. John 11:32. Read it out loud so we all can hear it. Somebody. It's Jesus talking here.
11:32.
Yes, and he says, if I be lifted up.
That's when Mary came to where Jesus was. Must be a different.
Okay, 12:32. Sorry. All right, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Okay. So I'm the Christian who's full of peace. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm the good guy, all right? And here's my brother who's done something wrong and is down below me. I want you to see this because this is so cool. I have peace. I forgive you, brother. If he has Jesus, I have Jesus, I'm lifting him up. Come on up here with me, brother.
Amen.
I've restored him. I've restored his peace, and I've lifted up Jesus, and what is the world going to do? Wow, man, he should be condemning that guy. Man, did you see that guy did to him? I wouldn't forgive him. I forgive him, and I love him. Mm-hmm. And I've restored his peace. Mm-hmm. And Jesus has been lifted up. And that will draw all men unto him. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the peace giver. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much. And peace and joy lead to what?
Mm-hmm.
What was the last scripture we just read?
Salvation.
Salvation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. See, God is so good, people. The God that you serve, the Prince of Peace that we call Jesus, is the God that we serve. Amen?
Amen.
If we just get that and understand that, if we have Jesus, we have peace. And if we have peace, we can certainly show peace. We can certainly give peace by our testimony. Amen? We can bring people, we can help bring them to the throne so they can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Let's close your eyes, and I want you to do a visualization about your life and about things that are going on in your life, and find where there is chaos. Find that where there is chaos. I want you to ask Jesus for peace. Ask the Holy Spirit inside of you, restore my peace. As David said, restore my joy unto you. Restore it. And it will be restored. For Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Restoration. A restoring. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Restoration power is in the Prince of Peace. And I restore you to the life you need to live in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If you're in need of anything and you're here and you need prayer for anything, I would like to pray with you. Whether it be a restoration of peace in your life that you've confessed, I'd like to pray that with you. If there's other needs that you need, I'd like to pray with you. If not, then just stay there with your eyes closed and be reverent right now and start talking to God and asking God the things you need. The word says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open to you. Step into that and talk with God. Speak. Ask and you shall receive.